When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's why I'm here. That's why you wanted me. I am. Yes.
Yes. That's actually why I hit record now, so I could capture that little clip of audio. I have the recording now.
This is my intro. This is how you want to introduce me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I never said that I was a good semi, just thought I was a semi.
I feel bullied. I'm being bullied. It's my first day on the job. And you're like,
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Yowie Shelf. Grab a seat and relax. I almost never got to intro us on the previous iterations of the show. So that was very exciting for me. My name is Aichi Yume, also known as Amanda. You'll see my human name there. I know how cameras work. And for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, this is different. I don't want to talk about what happened that made things different. I want to focus on the positive. Needless to say, Aisha is no longer with us. If you want to rehash that, go ask her. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to dwell on the past. But as soon as my former co-host left, I know that I wanted to keep the show going. And there were only two people that came to mind when I needed to fill my former co-host shoes. And Corolla is that person. If you were at CosaCon, you've heard us talk a lot about the state of being a modern Fujin and some of the past of it. And Corolla, darling, would you like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how we met, the auspicious circumstances that led us to our pairing?
Yeah, it was like a blind date, I think, I want to say.
It was, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we were both approached by CosaCon separately, and then we were just like smashed together. It was like, here's an email, and it's like, hey, what if you two did a panel together? And we're like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we were both very suspicious at first, though.
Yeah, it was, you know, I don't know. I didn't know what was going on, you know. I knew I was going to do something for CosaCon, but I didn't know what. And then you were presented to me, and we were like, Okay, you know what, let's do this. And and it was a blast.
It was a blast. Corolla is marvelous. I'm going to try not to gush about her for 20 exact minutes. So I'm going to let her talk about herself a little bit. Why don't you tell the audience about yourself?
What do you want to know? Like, how much time do you have? No.
It's on our show now. We have all the time.
Okay. No. Hi, I'm Corolla. I'm in Norway. So from now on, if the time schedule changes to, you know, kind of uncomfortable times for some of you, that's all me, because I'm in a really screwed up time zone. Okay. I think oh my god, I should have rehearsed this, you know, like, look at me making an impression.
Tell us about your history in the BL space.
I live and breathe BL. Okay. I've been into BL since my teens, mid-teens. I can't really pinpoint the moment where it happened, but it became a huge part of my life. You know, I've been reading and writing BL for the majority of my life now. I'm a published BL novelist. My fourth book just came out this month. Yes, this month. We're still in September.
Yes, we are.
And yeah, and essentially, I think I reached this kind of like peak level Fujin, because my entire life now just revolves around BL. It's like, you know, I read it and I write it and I collect it, and I work as a convention organizer here in Norway, which arguably isn't a BL convention, but you know, Whenever might there's well gay, be. I'm on the scene. And I do like panels and events and lectures on BL and pop culture in general for events here in Norway. And then now I'm on the Yahweh shelf. So I'm just like another BL achievement belt.
That's wonderful. For those of you who don't know me, actually, we share a very, very similar background in that, where I am also a panelist, cosplayer, writer, published if you count fan fiction, but not like fancy published like Corolla is.
I'm an indie. It's not fancy.
it's fancy enough. Accept the compliment. I've been doing this also since my teens. I probably couldn't pinpoint the exact moment, but gravitation was involved. We're going to talk too much about gravitation.
This is the gravitation shelf now. I came here specifically to talk about our Lord and Savior, Eiji Yuki. Okay, that's why I'm here.
The amount of serendipity it is that Kurola is a Suichi and that I'm a Yuki is like uncomfortably magical.
But I am Suichi. Okay, go on. Sorry.
No, you're great. I mean, the hair fits and everything. I'm just glad that I put clothes on. I was literally in my pajamas and I woke up because the sunlight was hitting my face and I hissed at the sun.
Oh, you have sun. You know, we, yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yes, I do have
sun. The dark season here. So it's...
I know you guys are, but very, very similar to Corolla, where I'm a writer, media critic, I'm definitely a little more BL focused now than I used to be, but like most of my fiction writing is all BL because straight people bore me. I'm sorry. Straight people bore me sometimes.
I don't want to be that person, but also.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Just straight couples are boring. Also, like, there's this weird level of cringe. Like, I was a tangent. We're already doing our first tangent. I was on TikTok. And I got an ad for like some hetero Omegaverse novel. And it's like, submit woman, tell me I'm your alpha. And it's like, this feels weird when it's not gay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like this when it's not gay.
But it's like, you know what? You see, the tangent is just, but you know, the thing where, I can't even remember where this is from. It's like somewhere, this is really stupid. But it's from some, it's like a series or something where someone accidentally watched gay porn and they were like, I was waiting for the women, but the women never came. That's me, but you know, subverted, because I'll be like watching something and I just think everything is gay now because my entire life. And I'm like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Who's she? What is this? What?
That is, oh my god, that is absolutely me now, like watching movies where it's like, oh, they kiss now, right?
Yeah.
They're going to kiss because they keep getting really close to each other and all these men have a lot of dialogue and none of these women have said a line. So they're going to kiss now, right? Right? Stop fighting. Oh. Just kiss. That's
fighting watching. It's just kissing with your hands. Okay?
Oh, fighting is the best foreplay. Oh. We're going to talk about, we have to have an episode about that. Fighting is the best foreplay. I think we both sail the same ship of Sasunaru, right?
Listen, we are going to do... Like you said, we were going to talk about OTPs at some point. I'm going to bring the Kleenex. Sasunaru is my life. Let me cry. I cry about them once a week, you know. It's
because they're great and they're clearly married. Like, they're obviously, those are two married men.
I say this every day of my life, but it is the greatest love story ever. Like, this is, you know.
I'm willing to sanction that. I'm willing to agree with that.
Thank you, because you're a person of taste and culture.
Yes, I am a man of culture, which leads us into the fun conversation where we go over pronouns, because it is 2021, and that's the thing that people have to do. My mortal name is Amanda, my weeb name is Aichi Yume, my pronouns are she and he. You fine audience are allowed to use she, her pronouns for me. Just don't be weirded out if I use male pronouns or nouns for myself. I say weirded out. There's going to be a lot more inflammatory things that come out of my mouth than gendering myself male. Like yesterday on my literature podcast, when discussing toxic masculinity, I said, you know what's really manly? Taking a cock. Like, that's not something to be done for like the weak-willed. that's like a full-on contact sport. Like, that's not something that you just willy-nilly do.
Can that be an Olympic sport? Like, I'm just saying.
Have you seen Turkish oil wrestling?
No. The first thing that comes to mind is that guy carrying, you know, the flag, that one flag dude from the Olympics.
Yes, with the Tongan guy, yes.
Yeah, the Tongan guy, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Turkish oil wrestling is like these big, burly Turkish men, and they all get oiled out, and they just wrestle each other in like tiny clothes.
Yeah, that sounds gay.
It's exceedingly homoerotic. But yeah, so those are my pronouns. Carola, do you have any special pronoun requests for the fine people at home?
You know, I'm very basic. I use she, her. I like to say that I'm kind of apathetic when it comes to my own gender, because like, I am perfectly okay with being female. I identify as female, but I would be very okay with anything else as well. So I just, you know, I'm just going through life. But yeah, she, her is fine.
I do love living in a bit of a gender void. That is kind of
I think that if I had, like, if I'd been, you know, a teenager now, I definitely would have questioned my gender identity a lot more, because it's more, you know, there are so many options, you know, there are so many ways of expressing it.
Oh my God, there were no options back in our day. Actually, to make this very personal and to bring out gravitation again, it was actually Yuki Airy that made me question my gender. Because I had that... Well, I had that tantalizing moment that now is very common, where it's like, wow, I really like this male character. Oh no, I want his gender.
It's but it makes sense, because the thing is, my dad actually asked me a couple of years ago, because like, I have a lot of friends who are trans or non-binary, and my dad kind of casually asked me one day, like, wait, are you like that? I'm like, no, Dad, I am not. And he's like, oh, okay. Because when I was a kid, there were no good like representations of female characters. You know, they were all like princesses and like really obedient, and all of my role models and all of the characters I identified with were male. And I was like, until I think like the majority of my life, until I was like 5 or 6, I went by a boy name. I don't know if you're like, I'm gonna go super Scandinavian now. I don't know if you know about Astrid Lindgren, right?
No.
You know who made Pippi Longstocking?
Sure, I do know about Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah, so she had another really famous character from her repertoire is this kid called Emily Lönneberga. And he was this 5-year-old kid who did, you know, he does everything wrong. Like, he's just, you know, pranking everyone all the time. He was my hero. And I would wear, you know, clothes that resembled his, and I would only answer to his name. So my family called me by a male name for 5 years of my life.
Okay, and nobody very cute.
Yeah, and it's like, it's one of those things where, again, I think that if I'd been, you know, 15 now, I'd be more like, wait, maybe that means something. But now I'm just like,
I don't care. My childhood is full of moments like that, where like when I was little, my dad learned Jesse's part of the Team Rocket motto so I could be James. Like, those are obvious things. Isn't that adorable? Like, there's obvious things now looking back that it's like, this one's not going to be right, is it?
Good on my dad asking, you know, like, because that was you know, was a thing. But it was just, I don't know, I just always, and I, you know, I'm planning on doing a whole thing on this at some point, you know, because I think that this has a lot to do with why I love BL as much as well, because, you know, I've always identified with the male characters, even if I don't
absolutely same male.
So it's because BL is powerful.
I would love to do an entire episode just on talking about like BL's like gender affirmation and stuff like that, because there is a lot of people, like, I remember, you know, writing BL as an American, you know, in the 2000s and stuff, and like, looking back, a lot of us are queer as fuck now. Like, a lot of us are not exactly straight, and we just didn't have terms for it, and we didn't really understand, you know, why we felt more comfortable writing as men. Why sex didn't feel icky between two men, but felt icky, you know, as a hetero thing. You know, why it felt really weirdly gender affirming to dress as these flamboyant Asian men. Like, why that felt good. Why it was cool being called by other names that were not your own. Like, when I was in high school, I think I only responded to like Roy Mustang or Kakashi Sensei. I don't think I was referred to by my mortal name at like ever when I was in school.
I mean, that's fair.
I mean, also very on-brand characters. He called me Kakashi-sensei because I was usually walking around reading like a yaoi manga, and I got very, very good at walking and reading.
That's, you know, survival skills right there, though.
Absolutely. I also had to defend my anime club when I was in high school because, you know, this is America, satanic panic, porn. And everyone's like, oh, well, you can't have an anime club. The last anime club we had, all they did was watch porn. And I actually had like a BL in my backpack trying to like say, no, it's not all porn. Of course this it isn't.
Just don't look at my backpack.
Yeah, it's no, they're... It's like they're brothers. Wait, they fuck that too. Shit.
Yeah,
they're cousins. Like, oh, they double fuck that.
But it's like, you know, I think that's so funny because that is the exact thing, you know. Like I think people are a lot more literate these days, but like back then it was like, oh, you watch. They didn't even know the word anime, right? They only they know hentai, and so people would, you know, ask all the time, like, oh, you watch Japanese cartoon porn, right? I'm like, yes, but also no. And then I'm like, it's not all like that, but that is what I prefer to read. Yes, but it's not like that.
Well, and that's something that's such a unique, and I'm trying not to be shady, I'm glad to have that perspective of it again, because for me, especially as a writer and critic, like, sex and BL is like tennis. I'm very, very rarely reading or writing any of this to get off. Like, it's just like watching a very, very skilled tennis match of like, oh, good volley, as in like good thrust or something. Like, really nice sound effects there, like good body positioning and stuff like that. Like, the way people comment on like dressage and horses is like how I comment on sex scenes in BL. Like,
yeah,
this isn't masturbatory for me.
But it's like, you know... Exactly. And it's like, it's you know, it's perfectly okay to have that response to it.
Absolutely. And like, I'm not shaming anyone.
But it's just, you know, and that's, you know, I do a lot of, you know, my I feel like, you know, my calling in life is to do the whole BL history thing. And that's the thing, though, you know, like, it starts out, like, there's a whole thing around this, but, you know, it starts out as almost like kind of a feminist movement where women are reclaiming their sexuality by portraying gay sex between men, because it can't threaten patriarchy because there are no women involved. So it's a safe space to explore your sexuality and to get autonomy, but without, you know, challenging any of the norms in a way. You are challenging the norms, but, you know, it's this whole
thing. But in a more subversive and nuanced way.
Yeah.
And, in a way that often is hidden from men, because men aren't going to read this shit. They don't care.
Well, they do, but yeah, but not in the 70s. And yeah, and it's like exactly like, you know, what you said. It's like watching, I don't watch tennis, I know nothing about tennis, but, you know, it's the same thing, you know. It's, you know, just the way it is drawn, just the way that certain, like, how do they use the angles, what are, you know, and the dynamics, and there are all of these things where, you know, I completely lost my train of thought.
You're doing great. Whether they use cooking oil as lube, which is something that I still think is unforgivable.
Well, you know, sometimes.
No. Do you want a yeast infection? That's how you get yeast infections.
I don't want. No. Okay. No, it's fair. I've seen worse, though. I mean.
Okay. Next episode is going to be worse things you've seen in place of lube and boys' love.
That needs to be a special. It's just like...
Okay, if we ever decide on doing subscription-only episodes, that's going to be our first subscriber special.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because
worst things we've seen in place of lube and BL. So, again, this is sort of a reintroduction to the show, which means we're going to go over our policy when it comes to trigger warnings. Now, luckily, Corolla and I do agree on this, and it's not going to change significantly from the previous show. But while... Your two hosts that are two writers, which I have a note in here, and I will love to say, I'm so fucking glad that I get to say that as two writers. Neither of us are opposed to trigger warnings. I think where we sort of, air quotes, draw the line is if it gives away the ghost. As in, you know, it's okay to signpost some stuff, but I don't necessarily want to be like, on page 5, section 3... there will be an incident of the rape, you know.
That's very early on. That's yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we've read some series that have had that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've read some Gravitation Dojin that has that. Cough
There's
Panda.
no shade the gravitation
Cough
dojin.
Gravitation Panda. Cough Capybara. I'm just
I don't have,
saying.
yeah, no, I don't have any retaliation.
Because there is none, because I'm right.
But they're not all like that. I just want to, you know, we are going to do a whole ass thing on gravitation. We
We
have to.
have to.
It's
We have
mandatory.
no
It's
choice.
mandatory.
This
Wait.
was the only part of her contract that she demanded.
I'm like, this is what I came for.
We're gonna talk
No.
for 3 hours about gravitation one night. That is the
I
only part
mean,
of her contract that was stipulated.
I spent my entire summer researching gravitation. Okay, I already did one panel on it. Might as well have a 3-hour conversation, you know?
Might as well. Do you have anything to add about trigger warnings and how they affect storytelling and or how we'll be approaching things moving forward?
No, I mean, I think you framed it really well. Like, we're not opposed to it, you know. I
No.
absolutely, you know, understand the need for it, and you know, I personally have some things that, you know, I like to be warned for, but you know,
Sure.
but there's the whole, it's kind of hard to not spoil, essentially. I think it's fair, you know, like there's one, you know, it's fair to put it in description, you know. Listener discretion is advised for this episode, but not
For
necessarily to
sure.
give away an entire series. That's
Absolutely.
kind of the policy, isn't it?
Yeah, and one thing I also do want to reiterate, and this is a direction that I'm excited to take the show in, is that trigger warnings I don't think will necessarily mean that this isn't of value. I personally really like challenging things. I also, as much as they destroy me, I love a good gut punch. And if that's something that you're up to, I definitely encourage that even if something air quotes has a trigger warning for you, if you are sound enough to handle it, to go for it. Because like there are some series that come to mind that like that gut punch made it so much better. Like Devilman Crybaby comes to mind of like
Oh,
that
yeah.
gut punch was I called so I made two mistakes. One, I shotgunned the series. I watched like all of it in like a day and a half.
I actually think I did the same, and I did it alone.
I did it alone and
What?
yeah, I did it alone. I shotgunned the series and I knew like nothing about any of it. Like I have not seen
Yeah.
anything. And I remember my best friend saying, "I think you'll like this, but this is my best friend who's like fucking insane. So I should have known. I should have known." And I'm like, "Okay, I like this. I like this. I like this." And then we get to like the last few episodes and it's like, "I don't know if I like this anymore." And
Yeah.
I reached the final episode and I was just shattered. Like, I'm gonna give you like a major comic book moment. I literally called him babbling like in Japanese, Usotsuke, as in you lie and I hate you in English. Did that for about 20 minutes and he had to like talk me down. He had to be like, "Okay, it's not real. It's okay." He had to like talk me down after that. That was such an intense gut punch.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was a wild ride, you know, and it, and
That was
especially
such a
going into
wild
it knowing
ride.
nothing. It's been a while
Right.
since I saw it, but yeah, it's
I really want to cosplay that series, but that means rewatching it, and I don't want to do that.
I know. I had to rewatch it like relatively quickly after because my girlfriend didn't watch it
Yes.
with me, and I was like, "See, now I have to watch it again because you have to see it because you weren't there to watch it with me the first time, and now I'm in pain. Are you
Now
happy?"
I'm in pain again. Yeah, I really want to cosplay that series, but that means rewatching it. And I don't think I'm strong enough. Like I'm with the, I have that with Sanazumai right now, where I really want to cosplay Sanazumai, but I don't want to watch it again.
What? Seriously, but that's okay. Complete side note, but
Yes.
this, you know, that's the story of MAPPA, you know? Friggin' Studio
Yes.
MAPPA, happy 10th anniversary, by the way, comes out of nowhere and starts flinging these amazing shows at you, and it's like whatever they touch, it turns to gold, but it is going to hurt you. And then there's Sada Samurai, which just comes out of nowhere and it says, "Oh, this is weird. I don't understand what this show is about. I've seen it 4 times. I still still don't really understand it. It's amazing. It's hilarious. And then it's like, why does it hurt? Why is it
so much? Oh my! I actually had a really long blog post where I compared it to gravitation.
Of course you did.
You need to read it. Like, not even like shameless self promotion. I think you'll like it. But I was able to make a lot of connections seeing that and gravitation that like really drew me back in. We're not talking about the topic, which I don't care. We're having fun, and that's all that matters. So that's sort of the policy on trigger warnings. To be frank, I'm good at leading the show. I got this.
But this is the brand from now on, okay?
This is the brand. Nuance, tangents. We're probably going to end up talking about gravitation somehow, which means we get to make updated bingo cards. We get to make updated. Cards? Yeah, we have bingo cards.
Nothing. I was just roped in. I don't know anything.
Don't make it sound like I planted a sad UK trap and I trapped you in.
It's not like I'm not great at doing my research. I just kind of like went for it.
You say that you're not great at doing your research when you rewatched Hollow Gravitation.
Okay, no, but like when it's like stuff like this, you know, I'm invited to, you know, and I'm like, okay, I should probably catch up with all of the episodes of the podcast that I haven't listened to. And like, no, I did none of that. I don't know what
it's okay. I actually feel like it's better this way.
I've been in publishing hell, okay? I haven't been alive.
For in all fairness, you have been in publishing hell while doing this. So I give you as many snaps as possible.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As we did in the first episode of the old show, I think that there is no better way to meet your hosts than to go over their top five series. Much like with the old show, there's one series that we emphatically have in common. I wonder if by now you can guess it. Hey, it's been very subtle.
Why can it be?
Yeah, blink and you'll miss it. It's been a very subtle thing through the entire episode. You'll never guess. So do you want to popcorn it back and forth, or do you want to go one and then one?
I don't know. I think one and one probably.
Okay, like, we can do one and one.
You do your you do yours, and then I do my number one.
Popcorn.
Okay, so that's what that is.
Sorry, dumb American school thing. So popcorn reading was a social experiment that tested if you were paying attention. So you'd all be reading a passage and your teacher would point at you to say who's reading next. So it required your undivided attention, which is hell if you're neurodivergent or if you're air quotes too smart to be paying attention. It was literally like a form of social torture.
Yeah, we also did that, but we didn't call it popcorning.
What was it called?
We didn't have a name for it. It was just like, you read this line and you do that one and then so on. And
I was hoping for like some I was hoping for like some cute like elven word for it.
No, unfortunately. There's a lot of stuff that but you know, we used to do I think that one's fun for you. We used to do dictation, you know, the teacher will say a word or a sentence and then we write it down. And in Norwegian, dictation is diktat. So it's like, there's a word for you.
My goal actually is I very much want a Danish station sign because the Danish word for end is slut.
So yeah, Norwegian too. But yeah,
I want a slut station.
One of the funniest things I've seen in my life is like my friend went to Sweden. I'm so sorry. This is going to be a Scandinavian show now. But
you know what? I have cornered the market on Norwegian food. I'm quite proud. Yeah,
you collect us.
I do collect you.
But yeah, no, my friend went to Sweden and there was like a, like, you know, sometimes they'll bring like clothes from the clothes stores out when it's when it's summer. And so there's this rack of skirts. And then it's supposed to say that. And then, you know, it says in Swedish that they're all out of size medium. But what it does say is medium slut. So medium slut. And we were like, oh.
It's me.
Hello. Medium slut. Only a little, you know, just right.
Yeah, a petite slut. I love
it. I like a medium, personally.
Yeah, I also like a medium slut. See, I know your language. I know parts of your language. But all right. Do you want me to go with my first one? You know what? I think we need to knock the maybe not so obvious one out of the way. And it's gravitation, y'all.
Oh, you brought it.
I brought it with me.
I don't have any. But
it's okay. Yeah. I brought mine.
Stab me in the heart. Why don't you?
So Gravitation was written by Maki Murakami on a long, long winter's night where she decided that she wanted to ruin the lives of teenage girls around the world by giving us the literal dumb as brick Suichi Shundo and the brooding, angsty, not willing to admit that he's bisexual and or gay, trauma-ridden dick bag that is Yuki Eri.
Be still my heart. I love him. That's everything I'm looking for in a man right there. Yes.
Like, and the best part is, none of that is false.
He gets better. He works on it. We're gonna do an episode on this. He gets better.
He gets better. Is better really the word we're going to use for that?
You know, he gets better. We have some disagreements on this.
We do have some disagreements on it.
We do.
And it's about Suichi, who decides that he wants to be a singer one day. He finds his way into Eri's life and Eri's bed. Eri is a mess.
Suichi's a mess.
They're both messes.
I love it.
We both love it. And then romance ensues. I think it's honestly, it does not hold up if you are like a modern reader, because it's very hashtag problematic and like every single format. There are some not great talks about trans people.
Yeah, that one is.
There are some not lovely talks about mental health and mental illness.
And there's a really, really piss poor psychologist, because Yuki's psychologist.
Absolutely, like, worse than Kurose from 10 Count Therapist. Somehow worse than Kurose.
Ironically, you should bring him up. We'll get to him. But
yes, we will. We will get to him.
No, but I think, you know, I did a whole panel on this because my mission in life is to redeem Gravitation, because I think it, you know, it doesn't get the credit it deserves. I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree. I have walked, you know, I think Gravitation wasn't my first, but it was one of my very first BL manga. And it was also the very first and also the only BL manga that was ever translated into Norwegian. It was also cancelled, so we didn't get the full. We got 7 volumes, and then the publisher went bankrupt. Not Gravitation's fault, mind you, but it was one of my very first, and it's been with me, you know, for such a long time. I do this thing where I reread Gravitation every 4 years or so, because I don't want to tire of it, but it still makes me laugh out loud, you know, every time I read it. But it's like, I've kind of had, it isn't even like an internal battle, but like for such a long time, I didn't actually consider it to be my favorite series. Mm-hmm. And then one day I just kind of woke up and I was like, why are you lying to yourself? Like, there is nothing that makes me feel the way, I mean, in confirmed BL, because if I was allowed, you know, I would say that Naruto is my favorite BL, but I'm not allowed to say that because it's a show.
It's your show now. Yes, you can.
Yes, because Naruto is my favorite of anything. Okay, but Gravitation makes me feel things that only Naruto makes me feel. It makes me laugh out loud. It makes me cry. Right. It turns me into a shrieking banshee every single time I read it. And like, no one can talk to me because all I want to do is scream about Yuki all the damn time, you know? And it's like, and I just had to accept that one day that, you know what? This is my favorite BL.
You know, it's really, really funny that you mentioned that, because like, I think I had a very, very similar moment where it's like, I don't think that this is my favorite, but I won't stop talking about it. And I've based my entire male personality around Yuki Eri, which is weird, but this is where we are now. I definitely do encourage, whether you're younger or older, which we should have covered this at the top, this is not a podcast for minors. Please not engage if you're a minor. 18 plus, we're going to talk a lot about dick.
Shockingly.
Yeah. There's not going to be a ton of visual depictions of dick. Mine is still in the bedroom. What?
What? No! You can keep it wherever you want. You know, I'm not going to judge you. Like, what?
I wish you would. It's still in the bedroom. It needs to go into the dishwasher, but that'll be for later on stay. Some of them can go in the dishwasher.
What the hell?
Some of them can go in the dishwasher. It's very convenient.
That's nice. I don't even have a dishwasher.
You are the dishwasher?
Yeah, that's me. It's sad. Sad hours.
But yeah, like, it's such a, I don't know if good is the right word. I think for me, I put Gravitation in the same category that I put Inuyasha in, where, like, I can't say it's good storytelling, but everyone needs to experience it.
But what I love about the storytelling in Gravitation, I love that, you know, because Murakami-sensei is so self-deprecating all the time.
And like, obviously on drugs. Yeah. And obviously on drugs all the time.
Gravitation is a drug, okay?
It is.
But you know, she's in the comments being like, this is your author speaking. I have no fucking clue what is happening. I am sorry. I don't know why this character doesn't look like himself anymore. Whatever. I am the scum of the earth, Murakami. Just roll with it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm fine. I love this. I love...
Right. You know, like, when she created a time paradox.
There was a time paradox?
There is an entire time paradox.
It doesn't make any... Yes.
Like, when she created a whole-ass time paradox where every possible reason that solves that paradox is worse than the last. Every answer to this time paradox...
But it's like one of those things, you know, because again, I did, you know, I deep dived into, is it deep dived? Deep dove? Deep dived? I'm having dove a moment. Deeply? I don't even know. Whatever. Point Nothing is, you matters. Know, I plunged into Gravitation and did a whole ass analysis on it this summer.
Yes.
And what I realized is that, you know, you have to read it, like, if you read it back to back, because the first time I read it, you know, I was reading volume to mm-hmm. volume and they came mm-hmm. out, you know. I'm in Norway, okay? You don't know how good your people have it. Like, I'll be over here, you know, and seeing everyone on Instagram being like, oh, the new volume of Mad K released yesterday, and I got it in the mail today. I got mine yesterday. Actually, it wasn't even yesterday, because there's no mail on Saturdays, but I got mine on Friday, because everything takes longer here.
Yes.
And, you know, in the early 2000s, it took forever to get the next volume, so I didn't know what was happening. You know, mm-hmm. I'd be there like, I don't remember this storyline, don't remember this character. So, mm-hmm. But then when you read it back to back and you start, you know, you can see the red thread and you can also see all of the missing red threads. And I was like, because I read, you know, the full Gravitation and then Gravitation X and then the Shindoke no Jijo manga, mm-hmm. which I had to stutter through in Japanese, but I somehow got through it. It was simple.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. And it's like, she has somehow tied the story together really well. Mm. But when you start to look at some of the things, it doesn't add up. And she said it mm-hmm. herself in the in one of the blog posts, because when she did the, you know, the Dojin, the Hyoko mix, which actually depicts their first time.
Yes.
But it doesn't really add up because Shuichi's still in high school, but he'd already graduated by the time they became a couple.
Yes.
And then she's like, and then she's in the notes and she's like, I realized after drawing this that he has a cell phone. And he did, like, she's like, I realized that I have drawn this as if it happened in 2019, but this was in the 90s. And she's like, I fucked it up. Pay it no mind. And I'm like, I love you.
Yeah, I mean, Gravitation, it's one of those weird things where I feel like if you are watching the anime because of the music, you're missing out on the end of the story.
Yeah.
But you have to have that musical element because so much of the subtext of the series is written into lyrics. Because it's a manga about musicians at the end of the day, or just a bunch of disastrous twinks and a shocking amount of gun violence.
Yes! Yes, but the funny thing, you know, no shade, but all of the gun violence is at the hands of Americans.
I mean, it's not shade if it's just true. It's not.
but
you know what? Okay, a secondary aside, I used to take serious umbrage with Kay, and now I'm just like, well, fuck.
But you know, I used to like. I think he's so funny, and especially in the anime because of the the voice. And then I realized that he's voiced by the same guy who does Byakuya from Bleach And I'm like, how? Because now I can't unhear it. So, you know, Byakuya being this, you know how he is. He's all stoic and, expressionless. And I'm like, but you're Kate. I will never take you seriously again.
So I have that with Aries voice actor Kazuhiko Inoue. He's Klaus von Wolfstadt in Maiden Rose. I've noticed a pattern. I've noticed a distinct pattern. But Gravitation's on the list for both of us. I love that we got to kill two birds with one stone.
And we will do a whole last episode on it. So let's not.
Please note that Uke is bossing me around. But yes, we'll do a whole. Please, Your Honor, I would like to say that the Uke is bossing me around. This is the only reason she agreed to do this show, is so she can have a platform for her Gravitation propaganda.
It's also because I like you.
Oh, I like you too. I like you a lot. you want to go over your second one?
Yes, I can do my second. My second one, we mentioned psychotherapists, so we're going to... it's 10 count, obviously. And okay. It's also, like, my first two are really simple. You put me through hell with this list, okay? Because I was like, how do I choose? But then I realized you said series, and I was like, good, I can just eliminate all of my one-shots that I love more than life itself. And
we can talk about the one-shots in another episode.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. I'll just start processing it now. No, okay. But 10 count. And I haven't read 10 count in a while. I actually don't think I've read the manga since it was completed.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. You know, it's got everything. I mean, and I'm like, I realized that it's, very popular these days to hate on 10 count.
Yes.
And I'm like, I wasn't there for that, okay? Because when I was still on Tumblr, everyone loved 10 count.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Yeah, back when it was, when it was porny, when it was good, and I love 10 count from, from the get-go, because obviously I love Sakurai Rito. Another one, that almost made it on the list was 7 Days.
7 Days is good.
Oh my God, I love it. Which is kind of like the exact opposite of 10 count, because it's so sweet, and, it makes your heart so full. And then there's 10 count, which is like, hurt you.
10 count makes your heart full if you're okay with, like, HIPAA violations and, like, literally the worst therapist that has ever existed.
But to be fair, I mean, I realize this is a really bad argument, but my go-to argument has been like, okay, Kurose is a bad therapist, but what? He isn't Shirotani's therapist, okay? He's not actually his therapist. He just came into his life one day and said, I want to fix you because I want to screw you. That's what he said. He did, he's not. I don't know where I'm going with this, but the point
that makes it worse. You somehow made it. So it went from he's just a bad therapist to he's just some fucking creep.
But they met. They literally met. I think. Okay, first of all, if anyone for some reason hasn't read, I've almost said Gravitation, 10 count. It's this story about this guy named Shirotani who has a whole bunch of trauma and, then some. He has germophobia.
Yes.
So, he wears gloves. He's constantly washing himself. He's afraid of, people and germs. And also, I can, on a side note, I can relate to this. Not that I'm a germaphobe, but I have emetophobia. So I am also very, about food and public places and things. So I think that also spoke to me. But it's like, and he has all of these issues, and then he meets Kurose Riku, who is a therapist, not his therapist, who somehow decides that he is going to fix him, and he has like a list of 10 things that he's going to make him do, and the 10th thing, I believe the 10th thing is kissing, because he doesn't want to kiss him, because the whole mouth thing freaks him out, and Kurose has some really interesting ways of...
Is interesting the word? I'm going to give you one more chance. Is interesting the word we're going to run with?
They're certainly not conventional. They're,
I was gonna say unorthodox.
They're sexy though. I don't know, but but it has like this thing where it hurts you because I personally love a good trauma story. I like hurting. I don't know. I like being hurt.
As a writer, I'm very sadistic. Yeah. I like hurting people.
Yeah, exactly. So when I'm reading, I like to go through the same hell that I like to put my readers through, but it has this whole, the drawings are gorgeous. Like, I think for me, what really got me into 10 count, like I am obsessed with 10 count. I have a 10 count calendar on my wall over there, which is like 4 years old, but I can't take it down. And you know, and I have the drama CDs and the art books, and I have figurines and all of them, because it's so goddamn pretty. Like, I am willing to tolerate a lot for the art. Okay, like, it's
that's really fair. Cool. I will say that 10 count is really gorgeous. I actually cosplay as Kurose. Yes, I've cosplayed as Kurose. He is the worst therapist that has ever existed, but he is a very attractive therapist, so I'll let him slide. I think he goes on the list of like top terrible anime and manga doctors, right, with a Hattori from Fruits Basket.
And that guy, I mean, not that I'm not gonna, you know, claim that I've finished playing any of these games, but you know, like, guy in Tsukijō, the green haired, yeah, he's pretty bad.
Yeah, we'll have to next list worst doctors and we're gonna become the BuzzFeed of boys love discourse. Yeah. Just like worst fucking doctors in. All right, 10 count's not bad. Definitely a bunch of trigger warnings with that one if you go into it. Let me see. What did I officially put on my list? Is this the list fucking matters? Nothing matters. Okay, so we're just talking about Kazuhiko Inoue. So Maiden Rose is my next one. I love this fucking manga. I love Maiden Rose so much. Fusunosuke-san does some amazing anatomy work. I've never seen a chibi with a six-pack before.
Oh, I have, but it, you know, the Shingeki no Kyojin chibis.
Oh, I don't like that show.
Okay. No.
Please, if that's the hill you're going to die on, we're going to have a very long podcast.
No.
If that was going to be your hill.
I have many hills. That is not necessarily one of them, no.
Fair and valid. Maiden Rose is about a young military general named Taki and his not German bodyguard named Klaus von Wolfstadt, who's not German.
What is he then?
They say he's Eurotean, and specifically they call him a Saxon, which is still German.
I feel like I should have some sort of European input, but I'm like, I don't even know. I only wish the OVA.
Fusunosuke does this a few times in other series of hers where she really likes doing like World War II stuff but not saying it's World War II. A lot of Japan has that problem where they really love some World War II stuff, almost like they were in it but on the wrong side.
But we don't talk about that.
No, we're not going to talk any about Axis powers Italia as propaganda. But Maiden Rose is a beautifully done military series. It is full of drama and hurt, and it is very problematic, and I want Klaus to throw me into a headboard.
Okay.
He is a very large German man, and I like him. I have Klaus von Wolfstadt brain rot. Right, like, I have Klaus brain rot. I think he's amazing. He's so big. I used to be like low-key afraid of him, and I guess like as I've gotten older, I'm more like, fuck me up, dude.
But like, I mean, because obviously you've read the manga and I haven't. I've only seen the OVA, and like, how does it compare? Like, do you think it's a fair representation? Because often those...
absolutely I think the OVA is very is a pretty good mix of like the first couple of volumes. I think the only thing that it doesn't get right is that there are some lines that are cut that make, I'm going to go ahead and just slightly spoil, that make Taki a little bit more duplicitous, because the OVA really frames him much more of a victim, while the manga does add in some parts where he's a little bit, you know, like leading Klaus on and stuff like that. Does not make it okay what later happens to him a multiplicity of times. But you start to learn more about what happened when they were in school and stuff like that. So it does make Taki a little bit more duplicitous sounding, because at the end of the day, the big crux with Maiden Rose is that Klaus and Taki met when they were both in military school, which is not supposed to be named after a concentration camp, but ended up being named after a concentration camp.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. And, you know, Taki is away from his conservative country, so he got to explore himself. And by explore himself, he means explore Klaus a lot. And Taki's like, come back to my home country and we'll be together, blah, blah, blah. And then they get back to wherever Taki's from, which is not China or Japan, but is China or Japan. And Taki basically blue balls him. So he's basically blackballed Klaus into leaving everything behind to go to a country that hates him and then doesn't sleep with him or acknowledge him or anything, isolating him in a land that does not like him.
Yay!
With no resources. So when Klaus retaliates multiple times against Taki, again, I'm not saying that he's ever earned what happens to him, it definitely kind of makes sense why Klaus is so upset. The OVA does remove some of that context, so it makes Taki look a lot more like just an out-and-out victim rather than someone who kind of led Klaus on. Yeah, none of those are major spoilers, but go ahead and read it if you haven't.
Yeah, no, because I've only watched it, and it's been, you know, ages. Like, we talked about this yesterday, and I was like,
we did.
I don't think I've watched it since it came out, but that's kind of what I remember, you know. I remember Taki as being more of a victim, so that's...
Yeah, and again, like, nothing that he's done merits what Klaus does to him. That's far from what I'm saying. But what you're missing is a lot of Taki's agency, where it's him saying, yes, you should come to my country with me and stuff like that, rather than it just being Klaus as some weird cock-drunk fanatic who abandons everything to go be with some rockin' twink.
Which, you know, isn't the worst premise I've heard in any case. But yeah.
Absolutely not. If you like uniforms and you like uniform porn, Maiden Rose is there for you. You like tanks. There's a lot of really good tanks.
You can have, you know, your BL fetishes and mecha at the same time.
Okay, so you'll notice a pattern with me. I really like uniforms. I really like military uniforms. Shovels away bushels of Axis Powers, Italia, and Full Metal Alchemist shit. I really like both of those things. So this scratched an itch for me. Also, Fusunosuke does some amazing Full Metal Alchemist doujins, because that dynamic is very much like in her nutshell. Like, she does some amazing Mustang and Hughes doujins. Because it's the same fucking dynamic. If you read Taki and Klaus, it's the same goddamn dynamic. Just old bitter married couple.
I love old bitter married couples.
I absolutely love them. So that's Maiden Rose. That's definitely on my list. What's up for you next?
I actually have this one because I was rereading it yesterday.
Little butterfly. Oh my god, I feel 1,000 years old.
Okay, so this is Takenaga Hinako, and
yes,
I'm just gonna go ahead with an unpopular opinion, because, like,
go ahead.
This was my gateway into Takenaga Hinako
manga.
I don't know if I'd read anything by her earlier, because we didn't have challengers here, at least that I knew of, and everyone was always talking about Tyrant, and you know. The tyrant falls in love is a curse. You know, we talked about curses earlier, but it is a curse. Because first it was like, I wasn't into it because I couldn't get it anywhere. And then I started collecting it because I really love her style. Mm-hmm. And then there was one volume that was out of print and I had to pay ridiculous amounts of money to get it. And finally, series was completed. And then she goes, actually, I'm going to continue it. And I'm like, I'm back in hell. Why are you still publishing this thing? It's so hard to get. Anyway.
Because she can.
And I don't love Tyrant personally. But Little Butterfly is like my favorite, maybe my favorite by her, because I really like the Koi ni Ochiru series, because it's amazing. But but this thing right here, okay, I want to say it's short and sweet, but then I reread it yesterday and it actually is a lot darker than I remember. It's this, you know, it looks like your typical high school love story. There's, you know, the happy-go-lucky, kind of dumb, super, super cute Kojima and his kind of dark and broody classmate, Nakahara. And they become friends and eventually lovers, and it deals with their last year in high school. And it's turns out that Nakahara has a lot of like familial problems, and there's this whole ass dark backstory, and you know, sick, you know, relatives and financial issues and mm-hmm. and abuse in the home, and it's actually really dark, and it's such a, like, if you compare it to, for instance, Tyrant, which is, you know, a comedy, mm-hmm. this one is so dark, but it's so beautiful, and it's so, like, the drawings are exquisite, and the story, like, really, you know, it really makes you feel things, and I use this. This is my gateway drug, okay? Mm-hmm. Whenever I've gotten my friends into BL, I've done it with this series. Like, I'm just like,
that's here, amazing. Read this.
And they all love it. Like, I have straight male friends who are not into BL, and mm-hmm. they have all read and loved Little Butterfly. So this is the gateway drug. This is how I get.
You know what? I did read Little Butterfly like 1,000 years ago when I was in high school. Back when Borders Bookstore was a thing. Pour one out for us American fans. And that's actually interesting because I never would have thought of it as a gateway series. It actually might be another cool episode to do, is like, you know, an intro to BL, because I know like that was one issue that a lot of American fans had, is that especially because there is an understanding of BL and Yaoi as porn. There's not really an understanding of it as like, as that for a lot of American fans. So we would just like throw this shit at people and it would really turn them off, and like, you know, come to find out that's a whole ass crime. We didn't know it was a crime back in the day. Don't throw porn at people. But it just didn't connect to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that just, it didn't connect to us that way. Mm-hmm. It was just this dumb thing that we liked. So that might be a good episode as well, as like an intro to BL for those of you who are BL curious. And hopefully it's just it's not just a phase.
Why would anyone listen to us if they're just BL curious? Like, here you are, like... porn shoved in the face, but in episode 15 we're gonna introduce you to BL. We're just gonna
For other people, for the Fuji evangelist out there, there's gonna be another t-shirt that I designed for the Fuji evangelists out there.
I want one.
I will make one. Next on my list, if you've listened to this show or if you listened to me at any point in time or if you hung out on our Discord, Twittering Birds Never Fly by Yoko Nada.
Hello, my Yakuzas.
Yes. I absolutely love this series. I think it's honestly one of the best modern BL that's come out. I've never been hooked on a series so immediately.
I mean, Yoko Nada is amazing.
Yes, she's fantastic. Everything she does is fantastic, but Twittering Birds... like from line one just had me hooked. Twittering Birds is about a very, very, very terrible man named Yashiro.
This is how you get me. This is how you hook me.
It's about an absolute like garbage man named Yashiro who smokes approximately 5,000 cigarettes in one day.
Does he remind you of someone else you love?
I've never put that together. And I really hate you for that. I've literally never put that together until this moment. And I'm think sorry. I hate you. Oh my god. I've never put that together. Oh my god.
Screams into bed.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, I re-piece my entire psyche. Yes, he is Yakuza Yuki Hari. Oh my god.
Okay, but that's hot. That is okay.
He's very hot. He's bottom Yakuza Yuki Hari.
You know, I've actually, confession time, since I just ruined your life, I'm just gonna confess that I actually have not read it.
Really?
Because I really hate reading things when they're ongoing. Like, I like to just wait until they're done so I can get the full scope.
And, like, yeah, okay. I can say, like, now, because I'm in ongoing hell, and I've been trying to do my due diligence of not pirating, because I am, I think we both are old pirates.
We're old, so...
Yeah, there really was no other option than piracy back in the old days. We're both old pirates, so I'm really trying my best to do this legally, but June, I know you're not listening. Y'all's update schedule has been fucked.
But it's like, you know, they're actually, you know, because now I think volume 5 went up.
Yeah, volume 5 did pulls out, but I wanted physical. I want to touch the thing.
Yeah, because I feel like they're actually being quite fast now, but between volume 1 and volume 2, like that was and a even journey, just, right?
Yeah, and even just between like 3 and 4.
Yeah, and I was like, for some reason, I thought it was going to be 3 volumes. So I was like, okay, no. Fine. And then they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to read this. I'm not
trusting it. I have volume 7 in Japanese because it came with the DVD of Don't Stay Gold, which is like one of the prequels.
Yeah, because I watched the movies.
The movie's so good. The movie's so good. I'm still very upset with you that you just made me connect Yashiro to Yukieri. Because it's actually going to come up again in another character. And now I'm looking at every single character I love and I'm realizing they're all just
versions of Yuki. You've evaluated your entire life.
I'm so upset. Like, I've always had Yashiro in this little box. And I've loved him. And I connected to him instantly. And I never put it together that he's just bottom Yakuza Eri.
Oops. I'm just over here, like, you know, praying internally. Like, Murakami-sensei, can we please have a Yakuza Dojin? Like, I will bring it down.
I mean, what is Toma doing? Is that not...
Okay, but that's different, because, you know, and we will deal with this at some point, because you know how I feel about Toma, okay?
I think he's brilliant. Don't talk shit about my tiny little tyrant.
Punch him in the face.
Don't talk bad about my tiny little tyrant. He's perfect and I love him.
Yeah, you can keep him. And then
I will. He's great. Yeah,
like,
yeah, I love him more than anything. Fucking fight me. I love him more than anything.
I will.
He's an impeccable dresser. He's never done anything wrong in his entire life.
No.
Made only excellent choices when it comes to the care of Yuki Eri.
He's a wonderful, wonderful.
He's a loving, devoted husband.
Oh yeah.
He's the perfect man. Shut up.
And just wait. He's gonna be a perfect father.
Sorry, didn't.
No. Oh, this is going well.
But, I love Twittering Birds Never Fly. The anime is out. There's actually gonna be a trilogy, so I'm super excited for the rest of them. I have issues with the movie a little bit. Most of it's pacing. So you said that you saw the movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I definitely do encourage you to read the manga when you can, because the movie has a big the movie has a huge pacing problem, because the movie makes it sound like all of this happens over like a couple of days. But like in manga time, this is like months. So it feels like all of this shit is just very abrupt. Like everything is happening one after the other, and it's not. Like,
yeah, and
because
that's why I wanted to see the film first, because you know, with manga, it's typically, if you do it the other way around, you're going to be disappointed. If you go into it watching the animated series or film first, then okay, this is cool, I want more, and then you go to the manga, and then you're not, you know, it's just extra. But going the other way often disappoints you. So
I mean, I wasn't totally disappointed. Like, I still think it's great. I still think that they did as best that they could with a character as vulgar as Yashiro. Like, there was definitely some padding of some of his dialogue, because he is a literal fucking trash fire. They tried to keep him as vulgar as they could, but there were definitely a lot of things that left on the cutting room floor. I mean, realistically, we should probably do another episode on censorship. There's a lot of things left on the cutting room floor when it comes to BL in general. Like, we're not going to talk about the gravitation ages issue, because originally there was supposed to be a much larger age gap between Eri and Suichi.
Gravitation episode.
Gravitation episode's happening.
Every episode is going to be a gravitation episode, okay? I just can't. Yes. Yeah.
So you have a couple on here that I think are very, very telling about you. Do you want to go into...
My number 3?
Yes.
Okay, the thing is, I redid this list like 3 times, okay? Because I was like, okay, am I going to do like current favorites, or am I going to do series that I keep coming back to? And I ended up doing, obviously, because the series you keep coming back to, those are your favorites. And so, my number 3 is a little untraditional in that sense. It is a manhwa, a Chinese manga or webcomic called 19 Days.
Yes.
And if I try to explain what 19 Days is about, I can't. I don't know. Have you read it?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Because it doesn't. 19 Days. Okay. I have spent the last 24 hours rereading it. And I am like, I don't even. Because it's like, it started in 2014. And first of all, yes. I cannot believe I have been, you know, following this thing since 2014. And it's like this, it starts out as this kind of like, you know, it's like a couple of frames of just like simple gags. It's like a gag manga. And it's like really cute. There's this guy, I had to rehearse how to say their names because I don't speak Chinese, okay? But there's this guy called Sang Yi and his best friend Zhang Shishi. And so he's completely head over heels with his best friend. And, you know, there's all this banter and all of this kind of like, will they or won't they? And there's this massive, you know, but it's just gags, you know, it's just ridiculous things that he does to get his best friend's attention. And then eventually we are introduced to another couple who is He Tian, who is this rich guy, kind of like tyrant type in their school, who's actually kind of sweet. And then there's Little Mo, who is another one of these like social outcasts. And these four kind of, they form like a very strange friends group who are just like yelling at each other all the time and like doing all of this ridiculous stuff. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
For years, it's just been like a gag thing. And then all of a sudden, the creator went out of her way to just like, oh, now it's like a gangster comedy. And there are these gangsters coming in and like kidnapping people and beating them up and crushing your heart. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening anymore. And it's hurting me. And I love it so much. You don't understand.
Isn't that just BL in a nutshell? It's like, I don't know what's happening anymore. It's hurting me.
I have no idea what's going on. And it's, you know, and again, you know, we talked about piracy, because obviously this one is tricky because it is Chinese, and you know, there are translations of the older chapters, or I don't like, there's like one page is a chapter, so it's a little confusing, but so there are scanlations, and obviously, you know, we don't support scanlations. So, but the creator actually, now she puts up the new episodes on her Instagram and on her Twitter, so you can follow it, you know. And she'll just, you know, like, she backhanded me on Friday, you know, she comes out of nowhere, posts two horrible episodes, and then leaves us, and we're like,
okay. I also love that you said she backhanded you, like, just you personally. No one else was reading this. Just you.
This was me and my entire Twitter feed, who were all, you know, it was just people screaming in unison about how horrible this series is. And I love it. And it's like, it does have a plot, but we don't really know what it is yet. And it's been, years. And it's so funny. I really love it. It's really, really great. I do recommend.
I'm glad. All right. Let's see. We're going to do the one that's a hangover from the old series for me, which is Antique Bakery.
Oh.
By Fumi Yoshinaga. It's about cake and trauma.
It really is. You know, again, another one that I haven't read, because I don't know if it was published here, but I never got my hands on it. I've seen the film. And the live action film,
no,
and it really is cake and trauma.
Definitely watch the anime. Just watch the anime. You don't necessarily need the manga. The anime is a pretty good translation. There's not many things that are left on the cutting room floor. Just watch the anime. I will send you a copy of the anime. I will totally legally send you a copy of the anime.
Oh my God. I'll have to prepare myself. I actually think I have it somewhere. I just never.
It's just cake and trauma. It's the story of Keisuke or Keiichiro Tachibana, depending on which translation you get. The series actually waffles between both. Yeah, so Tachibana is still his last name, but different translations will have it as either Keisuke or Keiichiro.
That's interesting.
Right, because it's not the same name. I've always known it as Keisuke, where he is a older gentleman who decides to open up a cake shop for reasons. And he ends up hiring, I cannot spoil reasons, for reasons. He ends up hiring his former classmate, Yusuke Ono, who is the literal manifestation of every problematic gay trope that has ever existed. He is a predatory gay. When American Christian men talk about predatory gay men, they're talking about Yusuke Ono, that they're just like lurking out in the shadows. They're after you. Who in high school confessed that he loved Tachibana, and Tachibana called him a fucking slur.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
And Tachibana calls him a fucking slur. And it's like, it's okay, we're still going to work together. And then Ono decides that he no longer has a boner for Tachibana, but has a boner for Tachibana's valet, Chikage. And then they hire a orphan waif named Eiji, who is voiced by Seki Tomokazu.
Yes! I'm sorry.
We like it. Hiko Inoue and Seki Tomokazu walk back into a bar together. So, and then they hire this young orphan waif named Eiji, and they all make cakes together and have trauma. And I really like it. Tachibana goes into the bucket of characters that I identified with way too quickly. I do not think he's anything like Yuki Eri. And if you tell me otherwise, I'm going to say that you're a liar, even though you're right. I'm very upset with you. I am now going to be on the deepest, darkest rabbit hole because I'm starting to realize.
I'm not going to say anything. I just want to point out that, Yuki's favorite food is strawberry shortcake. And that's all I'm saying.
Tachibana doesn't like cake. He has no sweet tooth.
Okay, good. See? See? You're in the clear. You're good.
I'm actually really not. Okay. all of the characters I love are just airy in different wigs.
Oh, no.
They're all just airy in different wigs. Oh, my God. Okay. I really like it. It's definitely, it's darker than a lot of people expect. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's just a happy cake manga. It's not. But also, like, I really loved this manga. Like, this is a reprint of it. But, like, the earlier versions of the manga, they were scratch and sniff. And they smelled like the cake that was on the...
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Like, it was the dumbest gimmick. But I absolutely loved it. Fumi Yoshinaga does some amazing anatomy. She does have some same face syndrome, which is why I say watch the anime. Because she does get some very severe same face syndrome. If you read a lot of like Yoshinaga like in a day, or if you like any of her anthologies, all of her characters start to blend together. Her and Maki Murakami have that a little bit. Actually, I think most of the people on this list have that problem of a little bit of, like face syndrome. Which I think is alleviated by watching anime, because then you have different hair colors and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the voices, you know.
And the voices. Yeah. But, like, oh my god, Koyoneda, like, Nights, like, some of her other stuff, like, that's just Domeki. Like, it's fine, because Domeki's hot, but, like, that's just Domeki in different clothes. But yeah, Antique Bakery, I definitely cannot recommend it enough. I think it's amazing. I've cosplayed as Tachibana before.
Cosplayed everybody. You're like over That's here not... just like
flexing. I cosplay bad men.
Because you like bad men.
Because okay, I am a bad man.
But you know, I actually feel so cheated, because I think one of the, like, because I swear I have Antique Bakery on a like on a disc somewhere. But yes. It's like, I think I never watched it because I didn't know it was gay.
It's and I very feel... gay.
Well, I feel so tricked.
Yes. Because I said you mentioned the movie. The movie completely removes the gay. It's very gay.
Yeah. The film was gay, but not like, I don't know. I can't remember.
And honestly, Yoshinaga is a lot like Murakami, where like she'll do doujins where it's like, I just wanted these characters to fuck. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like she's also very self-deprecating and stuff.
But she does What Did You Eat Yesterday, right?
Or am I she did, yeah. And she also does Oku.
I really love What Did You Eat Yesterday.
Well, everyone does.
But the same face syndrome is strong in that one. I'm like,
yeah.
All of the side characters. I'm like, have I seen you?
Right. Are you just the main character in different clothes? Yeah, I mean, she's great. I like What Did You Eat Yesterday? It's definitely not my favorite. I think it's because I got spoiled by Antique Bakery. So I think when you watch Antique Bakery, I think you'll understand that if you go from that to What Did You Eat Yesterday, it's a little bit of a softball. I'm pretty sure if that was my introduction, I'd love it more.
I think that for me, because I've heard at least that she doesn't actually consider What Did You Eat to be a BL. That is just, it's more of a food manga. But what what really got me into it, like I was reading it because I, you know, we have one chain of comic book stores in Norway, okay? And they had like the first 10 volumes on sale. They were like $1. So I was like, I'm getting these. And then I bought them. And at first I thought it was kind of, you know, because there is no, I mean, let's face it, you know, while I love BL for a lot of reasons, I want the spice. And it doesn't have any scenes like that. It just, it's just domestic and like sweet. But what what really got me in the end is, you know, they have this friend couple who were, you know, the one guy, they keep calling him Gilbert, which is, you know, the reference to Kazutoki no Uta. And I love that because the scenes with him are always so funny. He's so spoiled. And he's so, and you know, and it just goes straight to my BL history heart. And I'm like, I love this. And I think that's why I love it so much.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much other stuff. But I mean,
definitely not saying it's bad. Like, there is no part of me saying that it's bad.
I definitely feel you. Yeah. Because
I think you'll really like the bakery. I do.
Yeah, I think I will. You know, I like trauma, which is why, you know.
Which is why we get along so well.
Yeah.
And also leads in perfectly to your last, which I'm I wanted to be shocked, and then I remembered who you are.
And I was no longer
like I wanted to be shocked. I really did. Like there was a brief tantalizing moment where I was shocked. And then I remembered the true gremlin that I picked up on the side of the road.
I have never heard a more accurate description of myself. No, but okay, but I call myself a gremlin on a daily basis. So you're actually, yes. Because my number five, we are at five, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. That's why I've been doing a little strike through on the dock.
It's so bananas. Yes, because I like to suffer. And and the thing about Banana Fish for me is it's been like this thing that has been in the back of my life for the majority of my career as a BL person, but I didn't read it until a couple of years ago. So when the animation came out, again, MAPPA coming on the scene and being like, hello.
Hello, the series has the oldest time. We're going to make an anime and it's going to destroy a whole new generation of people and all the people who've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, and it's going to be beautiful and it's going to be awful. Yep. And so I watched the series and then I was desperate to read the manga. So, you know, and, you know, there were some volumes that were out of print. There was a whole ordeal and I got them and I read them and I cried like a like, seriously, Banana Fish, what the hell? I mean, so it's relatively new. You know, I had it because the thing is, do we need to introduce Banana Fish? Like, I feel like people know.
I think we need to softly introduce Banana Fish.
Yeah. So Banana Fish formally isn't a BL. It is a shoujo, which of course, you know, disclaimer, BL grew out of shoujo as a subgenre, you know, first being part of shoujo, then becoming a subgenre. So so while it formally is not a BL, it's kind of gay. And very gay.
Okay, but thank you.
So it's this, and it has all of these, like, I'm not gonna do this, but it has all of these tropes that were particularly central to early BL and like these very, very specific tools that Yoshida has used to kind of establish her characters and everything. So you know, it is a BL, it's just in a shoujo packaging. And when you think of shoujo, you think of, you know, bubbles and high school romances and bishonen, and then you get Banana Fish, which is, you know, gang wars and drug wars and psychological abuse and, you know, Ash living on the streets of New York trying to figure out what Banana Fish is, because it's this drug that has essentially, you know, been used as a weapon and then ruined the life mm-hmm. his brother, and there's all of this horrible, horrible backstory. And then he's introduced mm-hmm. to Eiji, who is this absolute cinnamon roll from Japan, who's just coming in, you know, to take photos, to learn, you know, to accompany his uncle or whatever, who's a photographer. And then mm-hmm. it's pulled into this dark underworld. And then Ash, you know, kind of opens up to Eiji mm-hmm. in a way that it is so romantic and it is so fucking awful. and so when I, you know, you watch, and the thing is, you know, when you haven't read it, because I know a lot of people our age, you know, they read it mm-hmm. in the late 90s, in the early 2000s. I'd only heard about it, and I'd mm-hmm. heard that it was bad, like painful bad, but nothing could have prepared me for how horrible the series actually was. Like, you know,
yeah, that's a pretty good way to describe it. Yeah. Also, here's yours: blatant Yuki Eri in random series.
What?
Ash is obviously just
terrible. I know. I actually just, did say that in my gravitation thing.
Just blatant fucking Yuki Eri in a series.
But but it's like, yeah, but it's like, I think, you know, when I watched the series, you know, and I don't know why I thought that somehow it wouldn't be as horrible as it was, but that scene with Shorter, mm-hmm. that destroyed me. I was like, I didn't think it would be, and that wasn't even far into the series. I'm like, well, this yeah. is going to be, this is...
Yeah, I yeah. feel like that was actually something that I'm a sadist, fun fact, if you can't tell by my everything.
Are you kidding?
I know, very subtle. I got off on that so hard as watching these new children watch Banana Fish and just get destroyed. I got the biggest fucking boner off of that. That was beautiful. That was, yes, I established, yes. Okay. Have you read any of my fan fiction? I am a monster. But yeah, that was, oh my God, that was the most delicious ambrosia for me, is just watching all these like new children who are like, this is going to be fun. And then just like vague, sad Fujin screaming in the background.
Yeah, it was really was something. But then, you know, when I read the manga, I was really impressed by it, because obviously when they did, mm-hmm. When they did the series, you know, they brushed it up a little bit, you know, the mm-hmm. the drawing style is different, and you know, they set it to the contemporary time, so they have, you know, iPhones and everything. Mm-hmm. But what really, really blew my mind is that they have somehow managed in only, I think it's 24 episodes, to sort of, they, it's almost like frame by frame adaptation into the animation. It is so well adapted from the manga. It's wild. Mm-hmm. It is so, so good. Which was true. Also why the manga was so horrible, because I was essentially just reliving the trauma again. I'm like, oh, there's no difference. But it's so good. And I, you know, I'm new to this. I'm new to Banana Fish compared to a lot of mm-hmm. others. But it just mm-hmm. instantly, mm-hmm. you know, punched me so hard that it instantly mm-hmm. became a favorite, because I like to suffer.
Yeah, I mean, that happens sometimes, which, speaking of suffering, leads us neatly into my last, which is Lies or Gentleman's Manners.
I don't think
by Mara Tamatsuo. I love Lies or Gentleman's Manners. It's basically about, essentially, another Yuki Eri. Dr. Paul Haskins is a professor at, it's one of the fancy universities in Yankee territory, and he has a student named Jonathan, and they are in a very, very impassioned affair. It's a lot of, like, very toxic affair stuff. It's very messy and dramatic, but it's also very funny. It's actually set in the U.S. Most of the characters are American. So it was actually a really, really interesting read as a yaoi manga, and Dr. Haskins is great. He made me interested in polo.
Wow.
Yeah, he got me to care about polo for like a good solid now, several pages.
BL introduces you to a lot of things.
Yeah, like that one summer that everyone inexplicably cared about ice skating.
I'm not going to say anything, okay? Because I'm devoted figure skating nerd in my actual life.
I was a figure skating nerd, and then Yuri on Ice ruined it.
I love Yuri on Ice, though, but yeah, we've had that
I think it's perfectly serviceable. It actually, for your 50th place on the bingo card, when everyone kept saying like, oh, it's the first series to do this, this, and this, I'm like, it's Gravitation with ice skates.
But
it's Gravitation with ice skates, but less problematic.
I really enjoy it for
it's not bad. It's Mappa.
I'm a whore for Mappa, okay? Leave me alone. Yeah, you, I just wanna...
yeah, not yet a sponsor, but give us some money next time.
Yeah, like I how many times have I mentioned them in right. this hour? Like, give me
just,
money.
Just fucking shilling. But yeah, like Liza Gilman's Manners is really, really good. If you like affairs and drama and like upper class people being terrible. And like sugar daddy vibes and stuff like that. I really like it. I like dramatic, messy series. Yeah. And yeah, Dr. Haskins is just airy. Fuck.
I'm gonna have to go through my shelf because I swear I have that one on my shelf. I just
there's supposed to be a Fabled Volume 2 that we've never gotten. I also yeah. I did the bad dumb thing of being an American and looking at like the backs of these mangas because I haven't in a while. And I love that Twittering Birds is 18+. Maiden Rose is 18+. Gravitation is 16+ because there's technically no sex in EX. But this is 16+, and there's a lot of sex in Lizer Gentleman's Manners. Oh, that's the angle you need. Thank you, Ring Light, you piece of shit. Sorry. That's the angle you wanted, you bitch. And then this is 16+, which makes sense because there's no explicit sex. There's a lot of talk about sex.
There's so, a whole lot, yeah.
Let's talk about ratings in another episode because none of this shit makes sense. I just knocked over my phone with the power of BL.
It happens.
It happens sometimes. So I've had a wonderful time going over our top five series. We hope that you guys yeah. did as well. Again, I think that there's no better way to really get to know your hosts than to go through what's sort of on their yaoi shelves. Obviously, these are not the only series that are on our shelves. I'll probably see if I can rope Corolla into taking a picture of her shelving. You'll definitely notice some patterns on mine, where there is an entire shelf of My Hero Academia villain zines next to Twittering Birds Never Fly stuff. Why do the villains... Yes.
I can send you shelfies, but my shelves are so ugly.
No, I'm sure there's that they're no, great.
They are full and we are having a problem.
My first yaoi shelf is full. The second one is getting there. But I thought yeah, there was no better way to reintroduce us as a show and as hosts by doing this. Once again, I am so glad to have Corolla by my side. This wasn't the aggressive jerk-off session that I was expecting it to be, mostly just because I am still in continued awe and gratitude that she accepted my offer in the most fucking adorable uke way humanly possible, in which you had the audacity to tell me after I followed up on you needing equipment, saying, well, we are going to do a podcast together, aren't we? God damn gremlin. My gremlin. My gremlin.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You've been given one Fujin gremlin.
One Fujin gremlin who, you know, takes 5 freaking days to reply and is fueled by pure caffeine.
Yeah, I saw the Red Bull. I'm not allowed to have Red Bull anymore after I nearly overdosed.
Listen, you know, 7 cans?
Yes.
That's a lot.
I'm aware. Yes,
this
know.
Is a smaller one. Not yes. sponsored, by the way. You yeah, are not
sponsored. Oh, no one cares about that here. This is from this is from the Container Store. It looks like a vintage bottle because I am in aesthetic mood. I also have next to it a journal that says "College Educated Evil Feminist Slut Agenda."
Ooh, yeah. That's juicy.
Yeah, it is.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Hello. No, wait. There it is. I just want to highlight my 10 count pillow. It's okay. And then why do you turn it around?
Why do they look so cute? Oh, I'll say, why does it look so cute? Never mind. You goddamn deviant.
I thought it was nice to have it there for the.
Yeah, that was good set dressing. I'm very proud of you.
For me.
because I decided to bring Corolla on the show in September, that means we get to do Halloween together, which I'm super excited about.
Yes.
In which we're going to talk about psychological abuse and psychological horror in BL.
I feel like this whole list was like a really good segue into that.
Yes, I agree. Like, there is a shocking amount of psychological stuff like in a lot of the series that we brought up. So we're going to be going over it as a trope and as a thing that's kind of problematic, but also why the fuck do we keep reading it?
I mean, that's, you know, that last one, really valid question, because I'm like, as I am listing my favorites over here, I'm like,
right, same. It's like, this hurts, like, this hurts me every time. Why do I keep reading this?
Why am I addicted to suffering?
Why am I addicted to the subheading of our show? But thank you guys so much for being here. You can support us monetarily over at anchor.fm/theyaoishelf. Your monetary support is not necessary, but it greatly helps us. If you'd like to sponsor an episode or work with us via ad partnerships, you can do so at theyaoishelf@gmail.com. One of us will answer your email, or you can follow us at Twitter at theyaoishelf. And we also have a Discord that we will link below in ye old show notes. Corolla, do you have any parting words for the listeners on your first episode?
Thank you for being gentle with me. No, but I don't, you know, this is my first time doing a podcast and I'm really excited to be here, and I hope that we will have many fun shows in the future.
I'm so glad to be taking your cherry.
Yeah, it was about time. No.
finally you've done everything else but the thing, so
So now we're here. No, I'm very excited. I am very, very honored again that you asked me, that you wanted me to be on. It's like a massive, it feels like a massive trust, you know, that you would ask. I don't know. It's,
well, no, I mean, it really was. I mean, again, I didn't really want to talk about the situation that happened, but I was really worried asking someone else. And it's like, out of all the people that I know that I can trust, I knew it'd be you. So I'm glad to have you by my side as, I mean, if we can survive what Kosakon did, we can survive anything.
Thank you, Kosakon, for bringing us together.
Thank you, Kosakon, for bringing us together. Like the sheet of music that Suichi lost in the wind that led him into Yuki Eri. That's what Kosakon was. That's what Kosakon was for us. So we'll see you guys in a week for our live stream where we get to meet more of Corolla and talk more about stuff and just hang out. And we'll see you guys next month for a full episode.
Yay!
Stay safe out there. See you next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye!